On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. It's time to talk DVDs. And this week, we've got Eddie again. Eddie, good morning.
Hello, Rod. How are you, mate?
I know people are starting to ask, does Eddie have a second name? But I won't push the issue, Eddie.
No worries at all. Maybe one day we'll keep the illusion out there a little bit longer.
All right. We've got Eddie from jordanandeddie.wordpress.com.
Yep. That's it, Rod.
Check it out. Now, Eddie, a couple of movies to talk about this morning. One is a remake, and one I would say is also a remake, but I'll get to that in a moment. The first one is called Secret in Their Eyes, which is the American remake of a Spanish film called The Secret in Their Eyes. I wonder if there's more difference between the two films than just the strange dropping of the, Eddie.
Well, look, Rod, yeah, this remake, which was released late last year, directed by Billy Ray, it sticks pretty close to the 2009 original Spanish thriller there, which was actually the recipient of the 2010 Best Foreign Oscar Award. So it's a very well-regarded film, and it's also in the IMDb Top 250 Movies of All Time, which is quite an illustrious list. So, yeah, look, the remake here sticks very, very closely to what made the original such a success. Probably the only change-up is that they do centre it around more that time in the war on terror, when that was a very hot topic there after the 9/11 attacks and America's, very much intense looking into Muslims and mosques in their own country, thinking that there would be attacks. So they change up a little bit there with that setting.
Now, Billy Ray is a director that I admire his work because he did Captain Phillips, which is a very good thriller about that infamous hijacking on the high seas. He wrote that film. He wrote The Hunger Games as well. He wrote State of Play. He wrote Breach, which was a fantastic movie, as was Shattered Glass.
Yeah.
They're just superbly made films. I think Breach and Shattered Glass, one about a journalist who was a plagiarist, and Breach was about an FBI breach. They're about as good as movies get.
Yeah, they're both fantastic thrillers, those ones, Rod, in their own separate ways. I was about to mention Shattered Glass really is an underseen film, so if listeners out there haven't yet ever seen that, definitely track down a copy of that one. It's got Hayden Christensen, who's the much maligned actor from Star Wars. He's fantastic in it, and Breach has a great cast as well. It's got such actors as Chris Cooper and things like that in it, and very good thrillers. So Billy Ray, the titles that you mentioned are obviously a lot of them are thrillers, so he kind of specialises in that genre. And look, I guess before you would go any further, I'd suggest as well to listeners to look, see the original Secret in Their Eyes. If you've never seen that one before, obviously foreign films sometimes are a little hard to track down in Australia, but look, watch it. It's a fantastic film, and look, Billy Ray's update is, to me, probably the example of a harmless remake, but almost, when you compare it to the original, it's a bit unnecessary. The original did it so well. I think Secret in Their Eyes had a really hard time ever competing with that original from 2009.
The thing about Secret in Their Eyes, or The Secret in Their Eyes, the original, which I've seen the original, have not seen the remake, is that it's all about this mystery. It's about tracking down somebody, and then eventually some evidence leads them to that person. You say see the original first. Well, if you see that, is this going to spoil the remake if you're watching that and think, well, I know how this ends?
Yeah, look, that's probably what happened with me, Rod. I must admit that without spoiling any of the story, it really does, as you say, build up to finding this person responsible for a horrific crime that's very personal to these investigators. There's been, something happened to these investigators that cuts very close to home, and they want to find the person that's responsible. And in the original Spanish film, it really builds to this fantastic crescendo at the end there, where there's this final reveal, this twist of things that's been leading up to it. And it really is one of those jaw-dropping moments. And yeah, watching this remake, it felt as though that power of that was taken away. And I also think that, sadly, Billy Ray mishandled the last, say, 10 to 15 minutes of the film. It was a little bit, misedited. I felt a bit jarring in some respects. I would have loved to him to have really nailed that last, the last kind of 15
really?
To 20 minutes. Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. I was almost sitting there with anticipation going, oh, this is going to be really great, but it just didn't really have the impact of the original. And yeah, whether or not that's just from me loving and obviously seeing the original, but I'm not sure. I think, yeah, even those that had yet to ever have seen the original Spanish film may even find this one a little lacking in its final reveal of what's been going on.
But as you say, it's sometimes very hard to find some of these foreign films, even though this did win the Oscar for Best Foreign Film, as you mentioned, that many people probably would not have seen the original Spanish movie of The Secret in Their Eyes.
Yeah, look, I would suggest very few. And also this one here, The Secret in Their Eyes, had a very lackluster release last year. It got some pretty middling reviews, and I don't know many people personally that went to see it. It was kind of obscured in the heavy release schedule there towards the end of last year. And look, that's despite it actually stars Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's famous for 12 Years a Slave, our very own Nicole Kidman, obviously an Oscar winner there, and Julia Roberts, another Oscar winner. So it's got a big cast, but it was lost amongst that end-of-year rush of releases, and I think, obviously had some mixed responses, which didn't help its causes.
But we know why they remake these films is because they assume most people haven't seen a foreign film, and watching it in English with these big stars is much more palatable, and so they don't have to think up something original. They just do basically a shot-by-shot remake of someone else's film.
Yeah, well, that's it, and I'm sure you, Rod, would remember some of the scenes from the original film. In particular, they had a fantastic foot chase that happened at a soccer match, which was just this stunning kind of long take that they did.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, just an amazing bit of filming that, and in this film, they even try to kind of recapture that, this time at a baseball game, and as I said before, the reveal is quite very much the same, almost shot by shot, except a little bit differently edited. Character motivations remain pretty much the same. So, yeah, look, they stick pretty closely, which, again, as you said, probably goes to the fact that they expect most people haven't seen the original and wouldn't know, would be none the wiser to what they're watching is actually very much a shot by shot kind of remake. So, but, yeah, very interesting that it did, I guess, fail as badly as it did, because the cast, as I said, is quite loaded, and I think, sadly, in particular for Julia Roberts and Nicole Kidman, it's probably just another string of films here that's a part of that haven't really been a great success. In particular, Nicole Kidman, I think, in need of a big hit. And Secret in Their Eyes, on paper, sounded a bit of a surefire hit, whether it's at the box office or with the Oscar voters, but it didn't come to pass, which is unfortunate for her.
But not unexpected, because, as you say, she doesn't have hit movies anymore.
No, it's very funny, you know, in that early 2000s and obviously the late 90s, she was, hitting a bit, and she's really had a tough run of it lately, so she's in need of a big hit, and I think just in particular a really good performance.
Never happen. She can't give a good performance, I hate to say, she's not a very good actress.
Yeah.
And she doesn't make hit movies, and nor has she ever. Really, she has not really made too many films, certainly not in the last 20 years, that have made over $100 million at the box office. She just does not make hit movies.
No, that's it. And almost in some way, she's box office poison at the moment. Some of her recent films have been absolutely box office duds. I know there was Grace of Monaco and other films like that she's done. There was one in the desert there. I'm just trying to think of what it was. I think it was called Queen of the Desert. Yep. There's films like that have just really gone by with no one even realising. She did the Australian film last year, Strangerland, which
terrible.
Was... terrible. Yeah, it was a very hard film to like, even though it had an interesting setup. So, she's in need of a hit, a really big hit. Secret in Their Eyes isn't it. I think the main star of the film is Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's really good. He's on a good run at the moment. Very powerful actor. He's really good in this film. But, the chemistry between him and the two female leads there isn't great, and it definitely hampers the film. It's not a bad film. It's not terrible, but, very pointless when you put it up to the original, I think. If you're going to watch one, watch the original.
You know, it's interesting because Billy Ray makes these good films. He's only directed four films, or three really, because one hasn't come out yet, Shattered Glass, Breach, and now this one. And even Breach was not exactly a remake of a film, but it was the telling of a story about the FBI breach with this bloke who's been selling secrets to the Russians for years and years and years, which had previously been made, I think, as a TV movie with William Hurt. And so he's kind of doing a remake of that story. He's a very talented director. You would think that he would do something a bit better than this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the original is such a powerful film that I really did expect this remake to be quite good. And I know originally it had Denzel Washington was in talks, if not kind of final stages, to be in it. So, you know, he's a huge star. So there's a lot of people that were heavily involved in the film that are quite, you know, famous and got some good hits behind them. So I'm not too sure what happened there, and I'd love to see Billy Ray perhaps go back to that Shattered Glass type of film, the original type filmmaking he did there. And look, it was a pretty small-scale film, Shattered Glass, very intimate kind of character study, but a thrilling one nonetheless. So let's hope he can get back to what he found there, because I think he is a very talented filmmaker and a screenwriter.
You mentioned Denzel Washington. He won a Lifetime Achievement at the Golden Globes this year, but even then, you look back at his films, and he really hasn't made that many good films.
No, look, he's had his few really big hits and some great kind of individual performances, but I guess he's sold himself out a little bit in recent times to action films and thrillers that are, you know, they're a bit of fun, but they're very forgettable. So he found a bit of a market there for his films like Safe House and The Equalizer. They're all very similar films, kind of one-man army films.
Yes.
Again, would love to see Denzel Washington go back to more character-driven pieces, because he's, you know, he's got a bit of power as an actor, but, yeah, doesn't use it sometimes.
And was not used in this film. So, Secret in Their Eyes, if possible, find the original Spanish version, The Secret in Their Eyes. Eddie is our guest, talking DVDs. Now, the next film is called The Program, and I must say, this was almost a remake of a documentary. It's a fascinating study of Lance Armstrong. And it's almost as if, well, they wanted to make a documentary, but they didn't have access to, you know, film footage of him shooting up or whatever. So they just made a movie instead.
Yeah, I think the documentary you're referring to was the one by Alex Gibney, wasn't it, a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Or very recently. And, that documentary obviously focused on Lance Armstrong's career as a cyclist, where he was unfortunately a dope cheat. So he was there using performance enhancing drugs, and this film, The Program, which is made by Stephen Frears, who's found some pretty big successes lately with Philomena and The Queen, so he's a good filmmaker, brings this story of Lance Armstrong's drug program to the big screen. And I guess unfortunately The Program was again one of those films that got lost in that end of year release schedule last year, and not many people ended up seeing it, and especially overseas. I know it didn't get much of a showing overseas, unfortunately. But look, it's a powerful study of Lance Armstrong. It's not a biopic, so don't go in there expecting to see Lance as a kid and growing up into the cyclist he became. It focuses on that period where he began his performance enhancing use, which is a shame considering his achievements.
We know he was a great cyclist, or we thought he was, and then it came out he was a drug cheat. But basically what the film also was saying was, well, everyone else was as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting look at the world of cycling, isn't it? It makes you question, I guess, a lot of the athletes there. Hopefully now they've kind of cleared it out a little bit, but absolutely at a time when Lance was in his successful runs there in the late 90s and early 2000s, it seemed as though that you were the odd man out if you weren't doing something that was a little bit suspect. So they obviously bring that about in the film a little bit there. There's a few people that are just questioning how these cyclists can be so good and their times getting so incredible, especially in the Tour de France, obviously a long time race there, that all of a sudden people are getting these amazing times and beating all the previous best. So it's very interesting. It doesn't focus on that too much, but it definitely doesn't hide from the fact that, you know, Lance definitely wasn't the only man out there using performance-enhancing drugs. He was just obviously the most successful at it and the best at hiding it for a long time.
But it also is very, very critical of the people running cycling, because, again, they must have known, or someone must have known something, and it's an Irish journalist who is the person that always thinks something is sus and always suspects that something's not quite right and goes about trying to uncover the truth. And so it's the journalist who does that, and this is based on a true story, rather than the cycling officials or anyone within the sport of cycling.
Well, that's it. Look, Chris O'Dowd plays David Walsh, an Irish reporter there who was pretty much on Armstrong from the get-go. Once Armstrong came back into the sport after his battle with cancer, he started getting these amazing times. And David Walsh was questioning it from the very beginning. You know, how can this man do this? What's going on? He was a lover of the sport and obviously didn't want to see the sport tarnished, so he was looking into it from a very early stage and obviously followed Lance Armstrong's career there. And oh, we must mention that Armstrong in the film is played by Ben Foster, so he's a great actor there. Him and Chris O'Dowd share the most screen time, and I think it's an interesting role for Chris O'Dowd, actually, as David Walsh, because yep. he's known as the funny guy from Bridesmaids and obviously quite a few TV shows, the IT Crowd. But look, he's really good in this. I think it's great that he's playing it a little bit straighter here, and yeah, I'd really like to see him do some more dramatic roles. But yeah, as you say, they don't hold back. The film is based on Walsh's very own book on the subject, so they don't hold back from pointing the finger at the officials involved in the racing industry, because it seems as though Lance brought them a lot of money, a lot of fame to the sport. Exactly. They didn't want that to end. So, you know, you can't look too far past that. It seems as though someone may have been putting things under the rug a bit.
Exactly. They knew that Lance Armstrong, especially in America, gave them a profile that had never existed with cycling, even though there was Greg LeMond, who'd won, in fact, the only American now, who's won the Tour de France. And he gave them kind of a profile, but Lance Armstrong was the reason a lot of people took up cycling. A lot of people watched the Tour, really made it an international, a global race, and they did not want that gravy train to end. Exactly right. I usually hate Chris O'Dowd, I hate to say. I don't like him at all, but he's very good in this film, I'll admit that. And Ben Foster, boy, he looks like Lance Armstrong, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does, and even physically, obviously, got his physique pretty well into shape for it, so it would have been a tough role for him. But look, Ben Foster's a great actor. He has been doing supporting roles in films like 3:10 to Yuma, and he was in the Mark Wahlberg film there, Lone Survivor. He's a strong actor, doesn't often get the lead role, so I was happy to see him get this, and as you say, he looks like him, and he very much plays him from what I know from, obviously, news footage and seeing him as a young guy growing up. He plays him very well. He gets the persona down right. And look, in the film, you must say that Lance Armstrong is not a nice guy. There's not really a moment in it. Other than his work with the cancer research and that type of thing, he seemed like a very hard man to like, obviously driven to succeed at no matter the cost. But look, Ben Foster, it's not an easy role because he's such a kind of arrogant, piggish character, very self-aware, and he doesn't care about too many other people. So it's an interesting role. You definitely don't like Lance Armstrong after watching this, I must say.
I didn't like him before I watched it, and I liked him even less afterwards.
And it's very interesting, you know, after watching this, I did just have a look at, you know, Lance's recent history, and he still very much considers himself the 7-time winner of the Tour de France. And it's a very funny thing to consider that, obviously, a found drug cheat still considers himself a worthy winner.
Yeah, but he assumed that everybody else was on drugs as well. His view is, well, they were on drugs, I was on drugs, I won, therefore I'm better than they are. We're all on the drugs. But now, his drugs might have been better. I don't think there's too much doubt about that. The program to which this refers is the drug-taking program. It was not just one person.
Nope.
It was a whole lot of them. Now, I'm not saying everybody was, but those who weren't on it were finishing down the pack, weren't they?
Well, that's it. Even though they were very similar in, obviously, physical attributes, they were wondering why they were getting beaten by such a big margin. And look, the program really does show, I think one of its best assets is shows you the length that these Lance Armstrong's team went to, I guess, do the drugs and get past the drug tests. It's a very, gee whiz, you know, every day they were involved in something, whether they're taking out blood or putting in blood or rorting the system in any way they can. You know, it wasn't just I'll have a needle every now and then. It was a really planned attack on the drugs that they were doing, and obviously it worked well for them getting the wins, but not so well in the end. So, look, it definitely shows that very intimately, and it will open the eyes of a lot of people that may not be aware of just the full extent that they went to. It's very intriguing what people will go to achieve that success.
Very much so. And it's like a documentary in a way, except that they don't have access to the really incriminating film, so they've made a movie out of it where you can see it happening. No one has disputed it. Lance Armstrong didn't take the filmmakers to court. We can therefore probably assume that most of what we see in this film is accurate. If you want to know how the whole system worked, the whole program worked, then the program is the film for you.
Absolutely. And look, Rod, it doesn't probably delve as much as we would have liked into, I guess, Lance Armstrong's mindset, but we understand completely that all he was driven for is success. And I think one day it'll be great to see a really, you know, point A to point B biopic of Lance Armstrong from when he grew up to, you know, what drove him to do the things he did. But, yeah, look, it's a very interesting look at the actual program, and I think many people will be, shocked at what they see because it's, very intense type of thing they're up to.
Eddie, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks very much for having me, Rod. All the best.
That's Eddie with a couple of DVDs.